Hi everyone, hope you're doing well. We're continuing in the book of 1 John. We're in the first letter that he wrote. He wrote the Gospel of John. We think he wrote the Revelation and 1, 2 and 3 John. So we're looking at the first letter of John. We looked at how John was someone who had known Jesus personally when he walked on the earth, who had led in the church, who had encountered controversy, experienced persecution, had been exiled and was still standing. And now as an old man, probably in his 90s, he was speaking into a difficult church situation where there had apparently been some kind of church split. There had been people who had left who had been teaching wrong things. There were wrong understandings about who Jesus was. So there was pain. There was confusion. There had been deception. The people were struggling. And so the Apostle John reminds them of some very core things in this letter. Walk in the light. Live lives that please God. And follow the way of love. And having just spoken in the previous verses about how to have confidence before the Lord, his tone changes. He leans in like a father to give a warning to those he loves. Let's read together 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them, but we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is true. Lord, we come under the authority of your word today. Lord, so teach us, encourage us, challenge us, protect us by your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm in the Hope Centre today. The Hope Centre is a building we use for offices, midweek meetings, storage. It was once a room displaying educational furniture built in the factory next door. And as part of the room, there was a mock-up of a student bedroom. When we took over the lease, I asked the landlord what he would be doing with the student furniture. And he said if we made a donation to his charity, we could have it. So we brought the bits of furniture back home. Sam had the wardrobe. We took the desk downstairs. We used it down there for a while. Aaron had the bed in his bedroom. But his bed was a funny size, somewhere between a single mattress and a double. So he had a single mattress on his bed all these years. But this year, I suddenly had a thought that we must be able to find the exact size of mattress somewhere online. And I did, on one of those websites that you should never buy things from. The picture looked great. It was solid. It was well made. And this week, there was a discount on the mattress. So we went for it. And a couple of weeks later, it arrived. It was rolled up. So we took it upstairs. We laid it on the base of Aaron's bed and we unrolled it. And it was as flat as a pancake. It looked nothing like the picture. It was so thin that when you laid on it, you could feel the bed frame underneath. I was angry. So I contacted the company. I explained my displeasure, and sending them a screenshot of the mattress on the website, I compared it to a photo of the actual mattress after it had arrived. A reply came through. We are sorry you are unhappy with the product. Be assured that we will do everything we can to rectify the situation within 28 days. Good, I thought. And I waited 28 days. The days came and went. And so I contacted them again. A reply came through. We are sorry you are unhappy with the product. Be assured that we will do everything to rectify this situation within 28 days. And at this point, I realized that the first message was not a sincere apology. It wasn't a commitment to put things right. It was a standard message that must be sent to everybody who complains. And I also became quickly aware that every time I sent a message, a different person was at the other end. I've sent around 25 messages by now and have similar responses each time. They have my money and I have a pancake for a mattress. The mattress was nothing like the picture on their website. I had been deceived. And as Christians, we should be equally angry when the enemy of our souls is seeking to deceive us and deceive the people around us. The Apostle John, with tenderness in his words, says, "Dear friends, please don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits." So let's set those words in a bit of context. We all interact in this world using our five senses: sight, hearing, touch, smell, taste. And because the physical world is tangible and immediate, some people conclude that the physical world is all that there is. But many people, regardless of whether they call themselves a Christian, would also acknowledge that there is a spiritual dimension to life, that we are spiritual beings. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in the hearts of men. We are a spiritual being made to worship God. And most people, if they're honest, will recognize that we have a capacity to love, a sense of right and wrong, a conscience, intuition, that points to there being a spiritual part to us. And many people testify also that there's an inner void that is searching for meaning, which senses that there's more to life, a greater purpose that lies beyond ourselves. We are spiritual beings. But unfortunately, people try to satisfy that spiritual hunger by looking in the wrong places. It can express itself in the worship of material things like possessions, even people. It can express itself in the worship of false gods, superstitions, reading your stars, trying to contact the dead, experimenting with other occult practices. And it's not that these things are not real and of no consequence. The opposite is true. Often these alternative spiritualities have real power behind them, but it's not from God. The Bible says that there are two kingdoms, a spiritual realm where there's a kingdom of good, the kingdom of God, and a kingdom of evil, the kingdom of darkness. In the kingdom of God, there are spiritual beings, archangels, angels, seraphim, cherubim, beings that are unseen often and do the bidding of God. In the kingdom of darkness, there are also angels, fallen angels. The Bible calls them demons or unclean spirits who do the bidding of the enemy. These kingdoms are in conflict. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle John explains that the reason that the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Jesus came to reveal God, to teach the truth, to set the captives free, to deliver the oppressed, to heal the sick. And today, through his body, the church, Jesus continues that ministry. And as believers, we see so much spiritual darkness around us. But we're called to be light in the darkness, to be those who, in the name of Jesus, continue to oppose the work of the enemy. So it's into that context that the Apostle John says, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. In this passage, John gives us two reasons why we need to test the spirits, and then three ways how we can test the spirits. So the first reason why we need to test the spirits is because not everything that sounds good is true. Verse 1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. The word believe here is important. It tells us that the primary place that the spiritual battle is fought is in our minds. The contest is over what we believe. And not everything can be true, even if it sounds plausible. The very final verse of this passage in verse 6 says, this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Some things are true and some things are false. We can believe the truth or we can believe a lie. And the power of deception is that we believe that falsehood is truth. And so John calls the believers to be discerning. In our day, truth is contested like never before. We hear phrases like alternative truths or my truth. You have your truth, I'll have my truth, as though completely opposing ideas can be true at the same time. But if there is no God and no absolute truth, truth can just be, it can be whatever you want it to be. It can be relative. Because there is a concerted effort to remove God, his word, and the values of the kingdom from our society and culture. We find ourselves in a situation where people can just make up their own truths and define morality to suit their own desires. And so we increasingly find ourselves in a moral vacuum, an anything goes society. There are powerful cultural forces in education, in entertainment, in social media that bombard us 24/7 with messaging that carries ideas and values that we take on board sometimes without even realizing it. We accept new cultural norms, the redefinition of morality without even questioning it because it's endorsed by some celebrity or social media influencer. And like the emperor's new clothes, everybody else seems to be going along with it, so we conclude, well, it must be true. But John says, don't believe every spirit. It's easy to be deceived. Be discerning. What voice are we listening to? What ideas and philosophies are we surrendering to? Are we looking at the world through the lens of Christ? Or are we looking at Christ through the lens of the world? So that's the first reason why we need to test the spirits. Not everything that sounds good is true. And then John shares a second reason why we need to test the spirits. Because not everything that appears to be spiritual is from God. I think that we intuitively know that certain things are not from God. False religions, spiritualism, the occult. But John also warns that we need to be on guard within the church. Verse 1, dear friends, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets have gone into the world. Throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament, we see warnings to be on our guard against false prophets, false teachers, false apostles. The Apostle Paul said these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, warning people to watch out for those who would try to deceive the believers in Corinth. And he described them as deceitful workers masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, he says, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. And writing to Timothy, the Apostle Paul also warned about false teachers. For the time will come, he says, when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. The Apostle Peter said this about false teachers in the church. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. And then Jesus himself warned the disciples about false prophets. Watch out for false prophets, because they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. And so as we listen to those words, it's sobering. Because we notice that falsehood can sound very much like the truth, and that it comes in such plausible packaging. The enemy masquerades as an angel of light. Not everything that appears to be spiritual is from God. There have been times when I've flicked onto one of the Christian channels on TV and have listened to what's being taught. I've heard people who are perhaps regarded as spiritual giants manipulating vulnerable people to part with money, selling prayer cloths or anointing oil, asking people to sow a seed of a certain amount of money so that God would answer their prayers. Prosperity teachers who lead people into materialism and selfish ambition. And then there are false religions who deny the Trinity and explain away the deity of Christ. There are liberal theologians who deny the virgin birth and Jesus' resurrection, who leave behind nothing but an empty shell where real Christianity should be. There are hyper-grace teachers who lead people into compromise. There are social justice warriors who preach a gospel without the cross. The blind are leading the blind. Charlatans, grifters, deceivers. So we need to be discerning. Because not everything that appears to be spiritual is from God. Have you ever come across those people in church who appear to be spiritual, sometimes very spiritual? who speak with authority, who seem to know God better than most Christians. They look and they sound impressive, but there is something off. People are drawn into their orbit and are influenced by them, but the fruit is bad. I'm thinking about an experience of some people in one of the churches that I've belonged to. They spoke like they were close to God, but the way they spoke about others in the church, it was full of pride and judgment. They had a divisive spirit. They undermined those in leadership. They planted bad attitudes in the hearts of those around them. And now looking back, I see that quite a few of those who are in their orbit, they're not even in any kind of meaningful fellowship with other Christians. Some are not even walking with the Lord. By their fruit, you will recognize them, Jesus said. Not everything that appears to be spiritual is from God. So the Apostle John says, test the spirits. In other words, behind these people, behind false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, wolves in sheep's clothing, behind them are deceiving spirits. There are unseen forces at work drawing people away from Christ and the purity of the gospel. The Apostle Paul in another place says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against unseen spiritual forces in the heavenly places. So having explained why it is important to test the spirits, the Apostle John now gets practical and he shows us how to test the spirits. Firstly, we test the spirits by knowing the word of God. Verse 2. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. Have you ever walked into a shop and tried to pay for something with a £50 note? I haven't had £50 very often, so it's not something I've done. But on the few occasions that it's happened, I can see the shop assistant begin to panic. Oh no, a £50 note. I've never seen one before. How can I tell if it's real? And apparently there are a lot of fake £50 notes in circulation. Shops sometimes refuse to take them all together. So a shop assistant may struggle to tell if a £50 note is fake. But if you gave the same £50 note to someone who works in a bank, who deals with banknotes all day long, they would easily be able to tell if it was a fake. How? Because if you have studied a real £50 note, the paper, the watermarks, the printing, you recognize the fake, however convincing the forgery may be. And it's the same in our walk with God. We have an enemy who is trying to deceive us, and not everything that appears to be true is true. So how do we know if something is false? We read God's word. And as we discover in the pages of scripture what God says is true, we begin to recognize the false. Knowing the word of God stops us from being deceived. In these verses, John says that those who claim that Jesus has not come in the flesh are not from God. And we've heard in previous weeks, one of the heresies that John was addressing in his letter was something called docetism, the belief that Jesus only appeared to be human. Because he was the Son of God, and God couldn't possibly suffer on a cross, his humanity could not have been real. Perhaps he was an apparition or only had the appearance of being a man. But the apostolic teaching, the clear message of the New Testament, the confession of the church throughout the generations, is that the Word became flesh. God the Son took on humanity and he made his dwelling amongst us. 100% God, 100% man. But if you'd have listened to some of those teaching this heresy and they had used philosophical arguments and rhetoric that made their arguments seem convincing, how would you have known what was true? John appeals to his own eyewitness accounts and to the apostolic teaching that we now have in our New Testament. And he says, every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. We test the spirits by knowing the word of God. We need to be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, who it says received the Apostle Paul's message about Jesus with great eagerness. But then they examined the scriptures to see if what he said was true. It's okay to get our teaching online, to read books, to listen to podcasts, as long as we're not relying on them solely to feed us the Word of God. We need to be opening our Bibles, praying that the Holy Spirit would lead us into truth, and then studying with, grappling with, meditating on God's Word so that we discern whether what we're hearing is true. In the building trade, they use plumb lines to build walls. It's probably done with lasers now, but a plumb line is a piece of string with a weight on the end. Gravity keeps the line straight, and everything that is built is measured according to that line. If it is in line, it is plumb. If it's out of line, it quickly becomes apparent. The Word of God is our plumb line. We test the spirits by knowing the Word of God. And then John goes on to talk about those who are false teachers and trying to deceive Christians into believing false things about Jesus. Verse 3, this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. I want to spend a moment teaching into this because it's very important. The Bible speaks about a powerful world figure, a man who will one day stand on the stage of world history, who will mock and deride and actively oppose those who put their faith in Jesus. John calls him the Antichrist. The Apostle Paul, in his second letter to the Thessalonians, calls the same person the man of lawlessness. Some people believe that this same man is the one referred to in Revelation as the beast, a representative of Satan, a liar, a deceiver, one who will use counterfeit signs and wonders, someone who will cause great harm to the body of Christ, who will seek to draw people away from the truth. This is how the Apostle Paul describes him. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, do not become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching, allegedly from us, whether by prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth, who will be destroyed by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. So the Apostle John says that the Antichrist is coming in the future, and we need to be ready for when he appears. But he also says that the spirit that will operate in this man one day is the same spirit already at work in the world, seeking to deceive people, lying, manipulating, mocking, intimidating, opposing God and everything that he stands for. And as you look at our world today, that's becoming more and more apparent. It's harder and harder to stand on the truth because the truth is being opposed or challenged on lots of different fronts. The sanctity of life, human sexuality, our identity as men and women, marriage, family, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, so many things that the Bible calls evil are being celebrated as good. And so many things that the Bible calls good are being derided as evil. John says the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in our world, and we should not be surprised that people so passionately oppose God and his truth. So we test the spirits by knowing God's word. Secondly, we test the spirits by being filled with the Spirit. Verse 4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world. The world listens to them. I love these verses. The Apostle John is so fatherly and loving. You, dear children, so intimate, so affirming. You are from God. You have overcome them. That's so good. The Christians he is addressing in the church have overcome the false teachers, those seeking to deceive and to cause division. That means that they have not believed the lie. They've not given in. They've not given ground. They're still standing on the truth. And he goes on to say that even though the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in the world, we as God's children, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to live in anxiety and fear, because listen, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? We have Almighty God living in us by his Spirit. Our bodies are temples of the very presence of God. We are not subject to the rising tides of cultural change, the crosswinds of public opinion. We are not victims. We are not helpless. Even when persecution comes and it's more and more difficult to publicly declare our allegiance to Jesus, we are not weak. We are not on the back foot. We will not be intimidated or sidetracked or deceived, because the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Jesus, when he was about to die, knowing that he would be raised back to life, that he would ascend to the right hand of his Father in heaven, he comforted his disciples with these words about another like him, who he and the Father would send to be with them forever. John chapter 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And then verse 26, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. We test the spirits by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Some of us think that the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit-filled life is an optional extra. It's the fuel injection upgrade of our favorite car. But Jesus never intended for Christians to live lives apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who draws us to Jesus. He is the one who brings our spirit alive as we're regenerated. He's the one who convicts us of sin. He's the one that produces the fruit of righteousness in our lives. He is the one who leads us into truth. He helps us discern falsehood. It is his presence in us that gives us the power to live God-honoring lives and to do the works of Jesus, including preaching the gospel and performing various signs and wonders. The Spirit-filled life is not an optional extra. It is the means by which the Father and the Son intended that all Christians should live in this world. The greatest protection against spiritual opposition and deception is being filled with the Holy Spirit. So we test the spirits by knowing God's word, by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And finally, we test the spirits by being an active part of the church. Verse 6. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. The Apostle John finishes this section by saying that God is using him to speak the truth into the lives of Christians. And those who know God will listen to him. There have been so many times over the years when God has spoken to me through a brother or sister in my church family. I remember when I was in Birmingham, one of my roles was student pastor. Because we were in a university area, there were lots of students in the church. I was tasked to care for them. And I loved being with the students. I was in my 20s at the time. I'd only recently finished university myself. So I loved the energy and the banter when I was with the students. And one day, I remember being in the kitchen of the church building, and a close friend of mine, Luke, said, Damien, can I challenge you about something? Yeah, of course. What is it? I said, well, I was watching you with some students the other day, and I thought that your banter went too far. I didn't think your humour was appropriate. And I felt defensive. You would, wouldn't you? But I knew he was right. God spoke to me through him. And God has continued to challenge me through others, to love me through others, to guide me through others, to teach me through others. There's real safety in being part of God's family. People try to say to me, I'm a Christian, but my faith is personal. I don't need church. And I have to tell them that they're wrong. God designed us to need one another. We are collectively the body of Christ. We belong to one another. And in a world where there's temptation and deception and opposition to the Christian faith, we need one another more than ever. We test the spirits by being an active part of the church. Listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he's listing spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. Now, to each one, he says, the manifestation of the Spirit, that's spiritual gifts, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. And listen to this one. To another, distinguishing between spirits. There's even a spiritual gift of being able to distinguish between spirits. Discernment. Knowing what is of God and knowing what is of the enemy. Some people are gifted to discern the spirit behind things. So there's safety, there's blessing attached to being connected to other Christians in community. So we test the spirits by knowing God's word, by being filled with his Spirit, and being an active part of his church. Don't believe every spirit, John says. Be discerning. What voice are we listening to? What ideas and philosophies are we surrendering to? Are we looking at the world through the lens of Christ, or are we looking at Christ through the lens of the world? Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this passage today. It's so important, Lord, because truth is so contested. And Lord, we thank you as your children that we have an absolute truth that we can anchor our lives in. A truth that is unchanging with the winds of popularity and culture and society, Lord God. An eternal truth that is the same yesterday, today and forever. I thank you that that truth is contextualized in every era and every age, Lord God, but that truth never changes in its content. And so we thank you that today, Lord God, we can know the truth. And in knowing the truth, we can be set free. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help us, Lord God, not to believe every spirit, but that we would be those who test the spirits, who live with discernment, Lord God, so that we can walk in your truth. And we ask, Lord God, that you would help us through your word, through the Spirit, through your church, be those who walk in the truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.